long without his touch. Need it. As if he'd read her mind, and was more than happy to oblige, he jolted into action. Moving too quickly to track, he clasped her by the hips, backed her against the wall, and flattened his palms next to her temples. As his big body caged her in, the scent of masculine carnality enveloped her, and she felt her lids go heavy. His muscular frame seemed to swell before her eyes. Suddenly he was bigger, stronger. Veins bulged as if he could barely hold himself in place, as if aggression filled him to the brim. The look he gave her, ravenous. "What do you think you're doing?" she asked. And oh, she sounded eager, already too turned on to care. "I'm putting you where I want you." Well, thank goodness for that. She liked where he wanted her. "So you do, in fact, desire me. You haven't reverted to the Iceman." "I think the beast between my legs answers both questions, lass." Her mouth curled up at the corners. Did the King of Apathy just crack a joke? He merely spoke the truth. As he toyed with the ends of her hair, he tickled her scalp. "I used to summon ice to prevent punishment from the demon. Now I do it to protect us all. You should be grateful for it, if I did even half of the things I'm imagining." "Summon the ice," he'd said. He truly froze his emotions? How? Magic? What kind of punishment? The weakness he'd once mentioned? "And protect us all from what?" she asked. Then the rest of his words registered, and she shivered. What did he imagine doing to her? His eyes narrowed, and he stiffened. All right, he could keep his secrets, for now. "Sometimes you thaw, though. I've seen it." A nod. "The ice doesn't melt on its own. I require an outside source to make me feel something hot, like rage." "Or desire?" Desperate for contact with him, needing to gauge his degree of arousal, she placed her hand just over his heart. Hot skin like molten gold poured over granite. Racing heartbeat. "His desperation matches mine." The knowledge sent feminine power rushing through her. He took her by the wrist and lifted her hand, pinned her arm above her head. Touching the bird tattoo is off-limits, yes, she remembered. "Why?" "Because I said so." "Fair enough. Again, for now. Later. What if, one day, you stop feeling entirely and remain the Iceman?" "I've often wondered the same. But right now I cannot imagine being in a deep freeze ever again." He brushed the tip of his nose against hers. "You are no longer afraid of intimacy." "No." "The strength you needed to overcome your past traumas. The strength you need. I'm in awe of you, lass." Those words, groaning. She undulated to rub her core against his massive erection. "So you've got me where you want me, warrior. And you're in total awe of me. Whatever are you going to do with me?" Now she found the wits to speak, she wasn't sure. "Want more. Need it." He hissed, his grip flexing on her wrist. "I'm going to have you. I'm also going to let you go one day soon." Were the words a promise or a warning? Did he hope to frighten or entice her, like, "Hey, baby, you don't have to worry about me becoming a clingy stalker, because I'm going to bail ASAP. "Wrong. I'm going to have you," she said, "and let you go one day soon. I won't be used and abused. I'll hump and dump." Something dark and primal flashed over his expression. "You are mine. Say it." He could dish it but not eat it. She hesitated, giving anticipation a chance to build inside him. "My own." Was that thick, drugged tone really hers? Well, why not? She'd wanted this man for centuries, and now here he was, hers for the taking. They were so close they actually shared space. So close she could feel passion currents rushing along his skin. Any time she inhaled, her nipples brushed against his chest, sparking heat and friction. Any time she exhaled, her hips arched of their own accord, seeking more contact, more friction. Puck took her face in his hand, his thumb on one side of her chin, his fingers on the other. An aggressive hold, and yet, still, she wasn't afraid. If you will not tell me you are mine, you'll show me. He didn't wait for her response, but released the arm he'd pinned overhead to squeeze her ass with splayed fingers, covering as much ground as possible, at the same time swooping down to claim her mouth. This wasn't an easy exploration, but a fierce demand, a stamp of ownership unlike anything she'd ever experienced. Between sensuous forays of his tongue, he massaged the pulse fluttering at the base of her throat. Waited so long for this. The sweetness of his flavor maddened her. He was a drug, her drug, all masculine heat and hardness, devastating her senses. Little mewling sounds escaped her as she wrapped her arms around him and rocked her core against him again and again, unable to stop the motion. Every new collision with his erection made her hotter, wetter. More, I need more. 500 years of frustration had turned her wanton. Or maybe Puck had done the honors? Touch me. Touch me now, she demanded. Tell me where. Inside. Go for gold now. Save her later. To me, all of you is gold. Inside, she insisted. What if I wish to play with your breasts first, hm? He reached under her leather halter to knead her breast and toy with a nipple. Please, Puck. Please. The warrioress pleads with me now. She is needful. With his free hand, he delved under the hem of her leather skirt. Very well. You'll get what you're begging for. As his fingers skimmed her inner thigh, she clawed at his back, probably drawing blood. So good. Between your legs. Like this. One of those exploring fingers edged closer to her core, only to dart away just before contact. He teased her, now? Different impulses hit her, one after the other. Free his erection and grind, walk away, leaving him aching for all the centuries he'd spent away from her. For this, throw him down and ravish him. Do it, she commanded. Feed me your fingers. He obeyed, those naughty fingers shoving her panties aside, parting her and driving into her aching core. With a voice like smoke-dusted gravel, he said, "You are soaked for me." Gillian's knees gave out entirely, if not for the hand pressed between her legs, the heel of Puck's palm rubbing against her little bundle of nerves, while his fingers probed. She would have fallen, and... Don't stop, please, don't stop. He thrust a second finger deep inside her, and she went off like a rocket, just like that, just boom, finished, finally. Yes, yes, yes. The most sublime pleasure exploded inside her, leaving no part of her unaffected. And he wasn't done. As she came apart, he continued thrusting those fingers, scissoring them to stretch her before feeding her a third, prolonging her climax, enriching it. A scream fled past her lips, but he swallowed the sound and deepened the kiss. Good thing. He possessed the oxygen she needed. William was right. Kisses were survival. Inner walls clenched and unclenched, her mind fogged, derailing her thoughts. Languid heat stole through her. A thief in the night, stealing all reason, leaving her limp and gloriously satisfied. But the satisfaction didn't last long. Gillian only wanted more, more Puck, more passion, more contentment. Nothing compared. One orgasm wasn't enough. She desperately needed another. She needed sex, now, right now, no more waiting. Except, when she reached for the waist of his pants, he lifted his head to meet her gaze, his irises bright and wild, set ablaze, and she stilled. With his tangled black hair, he looked as crazed as she felt, crazed and hauntingly beautiful. Flawless of form and face, absolute male perfection, a man transfixed by a woman. Needful of her and her alone, no others would do. "Your eyes," he said, sounding awed. "They burn for me. I'm not alone in this. Might not ever be alone again." A wave of vulnerability crashed into her. Then the worst happened. One moment she was horny, ready for another go. The next, she was sobbing as if a treasured friend had just been murdered. Tears pouring down her cheeks, her entire body heaving. Gillian hadn't shed a single teardrop in centuries. Now she could do nothing to halt the tide. Puck wrapped his arms around her, held her through her sob. He even combed his fingers through her hair, murmuring things like, "I understand. You once experienced betrayal, and this is freedom. And I cannot stand to see my warriors cry, followed by, "Tell me what to do and I'll do it." He did understand. He'd suffered betrayal, too. He'd called her warrioress. He'd given her an orgasm, her first. And she'd only had to wait 500 and something years. The fear she'd suffered was so long, the nightmares, the pleasure her abusers had stolen from her. It was wrong. It was criminal. She'd been cheated, hurt, destroyed, ruined. No, not destroyed, not ruined. Her body had been used by others, yes, and her self-worth had been kicked, punched, beaten, and stabbed. But she'd picked herself up off the ground. She'd stood, she'd squared her shoulders and lifted her chin, and she'd lived. She'd learned to fight back. She'd helped others in need, and now she had this. A sexual experience born of mutual desire. A kiss worthy of going to war, if only to have another. A cherished memory to overshadow those she hoped to one day erase. "I'm sorry I ruined the mood," she said when she caught her breath. The breakdown probably should have left her hollow and weak, but she felt invigorated, as if a broken bone had finally reset and healed stronger. "Don't be sorry." With gentle swipes of his thumbs, he wiped the tears from her cheeks. "So tender, so surprising. Do you think I'm weak now?" she asked with a sniffle. "I think you're stronger. The things you've had to overcome. You are an inspiration to me." "I inspired a great warrior such as him?" She had to blink back a new round of tears. "That was the first time you've ever climaxed?" he asked, still so tender. There was no smugness in his voice, only curiosity, and perhaps a bit of pride. The only reason she responded. "Yes. That was my first time choosing my partner, too." Tenderness, gratitude, and affection replaced her vulnerability, each directed at Puck. "Should we take care of you now?" A pause, then. "No." He released her and backed away. "I should go." "Go?" No, she didn't want distance from him right now. She wanted communion. "Stay. Please." He gave a curt shake of his head, then, before her eyes, he changed from a source of comfort to torment, from needful to removed. The Iceman had returned with a vengeance. She told herself, "I'm too wrung out to be upset about this." But she wasn't a fan of platitudes and wouldn't lie, even to herself. She was upset. Cutting disappointment nearly cleaved her in two. Knew he would get off and run, knew it. And it hurt just as badly as she'd suspected. Although he hadn't gotten off, had he? And yet he'd still found the strength to abandon her. Ouch. What had caused the change in him? Why wouldn't he let her bring him to orgasm? Why would he deny her the privilege? With this version of Puck, demanding answers would get her nowhere fast. "I wish you'd stop Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyding into the Iceman. He's a real bummer. And yes, I just turned names into a verb." "We're going to talk," he said, ignoring her, his voice no longer filled with smoke and gravel, but frost. Uh-oh, this couldn't be good. Unease swamped her. Still, she pasted on a smile and crossed her arms over her chest to hide her puckered nipples. "All, I've got nothing better to do." Mistake. She remembered how badly he'd wanted to attend to those aching nipples, but she'd protested, hoping to get off quickly. Foolish girl. Next time she would... What? Would she welcome a next time? What they'd done had rocked her whole world, true, but this she couldn't tolerate, acting as if nothing had happened, staring into uncaring eyes, unable to respond as she'd like without possible consequences. Whoa. If there was a problem, Gillian fixed it. Consequences be damned. From now on, she would respond however she dang well pleased. "You're right. We're going to talk." Though her legs were like jelly, she managed to walk to the couch Peanut had mauled and eased down. "You once told me Princess Alana of Dyingen is your female. Arranged marriage, blah blah. Did you turn me down because you're saving yourself for her? Newsflash, I doubt she's saving herself for you. She's engaged to your brother. Has been for a while, though they've never actually pulled the trigger." He offered no outward cues to his thoughts, the jerk. Gillian had interacted with the princess only once, but had watched her, curious, any time they'd visited the same village market at the same time. Alana was pretty in an understated way, soft-spoken and timid. My opposite. Their conversation had been short and sweet. Gillian. I hear you were once engaged to Puck Connaught. Alana. Yes, but he has horns now and... Gillian. I'm his wife, and I enjoy killing anyone who disrespects him. Alana. Please, excuse me. Why does it matter? Puck finally asked. He sat in the decimated chair across from her. Just making conversation as you wanted. If you'd prefer, I can go back to the party. And William. Still no reaction from him. Uh-oh. Maybe she shouldn't have gone there. Puck wasn't some schoolboy with his very first crush. He was a prince and future king, a warrior to the core and the keeper of indifference. Though he desired Gillian, in his own way, he could walk away without hesitation any time, any place, as he'd proven. I like the idea of her, he replied, and relief careened through her. He moved a hand over one of his horns, as if self-conscious. Impossible. I ran into her after my possession. After my appearance had been altered. She fled. Ouch. The rejection must have hurt, even if he hadn't felt the emotion at the time. Wait. Did emotions build up inside him and erupt later? If he needed ice to control his reactions, she'd guess yes. Leaning toward him, she said in a stage whisper, "Want to know a secret?" He shook his head. Then he scowled. Then he nodded. "Tell me. Tell me now. Do I detect eagerness? Won't smile. I've always considered you beautiful." He gave her a look, one of hope and longing, only to hide it behind an indifferent mask a second later. Her heart squeezed as she said, "What did you like about the princess?" "The look of her, and that she was going to be mine. I didn't actually know her."
"You don't know me either," Gillian pointed out. "Did you want to touch me only because of the way I look, or because I'm already yours? A fact you insisted I say out loud."
"I know plenty about you."
"Oh, do tell."
"You?"
"What?"
she insisted. "You like helping people. You dislike liars. Facts I've told you, hardly a newsflash. I know you like the thought of hurting your brother, and you dislike William. Your favorite hobby is collecting trophies from the men you've defeated. Something you gleaned from said trophies hanging on my wall." The corner of her mouth lifted. "I think your favorite hobby just became collecting orgasms from your wife." His chest rose and fell in quick succession, but still his expression remained blank. "You want to stay in Amaranthia, even after we divorce. Not just to keep your clan together, but to continue ruling your clan. You believe no one else can see to their well-being as completely as you." All right, maybe he did know her.
"Correct again.
But you can't stay here." Instant fury.
"You're going to try to kick me out of Amaranthia once you're king? And notice I said try."
"I won't try. I will do."
"So you lied to me. Again," she grated. "After you promised to always tell me the truth."
He didn't even flinch. "I didn't lie. I changed my mind."
"Why did you change your mind?" she demanded.
"Because I can." His gaze was as cold and detached as the day he'd broken her finger, just to prove a point. "This is my realm." All right, she was a little too screwed in the head at the moment to deal with this, with him.
"I'm done chatting with you. I don't like you when you get this way, so I'm going back to the party."
He said nothing as she stood and stomped off, soon entering the cool of the night. A second later, however, the door slammed. Footsteps echoed. Puck had followed her. Her pulse points raced, her skin and blood heating, her body ready for round two.
Ignore him.
As she approached the feast, a familiar buzz sped along her nerve endings. She stopped abruptly, breathing deeply to circumvent a hulk-out. "What's wrong with you?" Puck came up behind her, his warm breath caressing the back of her neck, adding kindling to her blood, sending shivers down her spine, and she gnashed her teeth. "You aren't going to argue with me?"
"Is that what you want?"
She kicked into motion, and he kept pace. "Me to argue with you?"
"No."
"Yes. I don't know.
Until you figure it out, back off. Laughter boomed, now at a higher volume than the music.
Gillian, Johanna called. Come, join us.
She doesn't know you've already come, Puck remarked conversationally. More shivers, more heat. But oh, he had no right to mention their dalliance after threatening to boot her from Amaranthia. What was it that drew her to him? Besides the obvious, of course, his otherworldly beauty. Wicked kisses and glorious touch. Why respond sexually only to Puck, only the bond? Surely not. Her mind wanted him as much as her body. Had to be the way he sometimes looked at her, as if she was a revelation. The way he sometimes focused all of his intensity on her, as if nothing else held any importance. Addicted. Johanna and Rosaline sat beside a grinning William, grinning, until he noticed Puck. Puck must have noticed him, too, because he stiffened.
I want you to stay in my realm, he said, his voice soft, but not with William. I'm tempted to gut him every time I see the two of you together.
What the ever-loving what? All this you've-got-to-leave nonsense over jealousy? What am I going to do with this man?
Before she could think up a reply, Puck stalked around her to rejoin the feast. Not knowing what else to do, she followed him.
When did I begin to love punishment and seek it out?
Puck tracked Gillian's every move as she chose a spot next to her generals and William, across from me. She wants me to watch her interact with a male? Happy to oblige, wife. But she could blame no one but herself for his response, whatever it might be. As 1 minute ticked into another, she avoided looking in Puck's direction, rousing a flame of anger. Her eyes were windows to her soul. And she thinks to deny me a glimpse into her soul? After she'd made him want her more than he'd ever wanted anything. In his arms. She'd taken what she wanted, when she'd wanted it. She'd come alive, kissing and clawing and panting, for him, only him. And when she'd cried, she'd broken something inside him. She'd revealed a potent wit and sass, as well as an earthy sensuality he'd found charming. The keeper of indifference, charmed? Hell, the keeper of indifference, enchanted. Puck would love to blame the bond for his fascination and growing obsession, but could he? He'd yearned for Gillian before the ceremony. His gaze slid to William. The male laughed at something someone had said, though his body remained tense. He knew something had happened between husband and wife. He must. Gillian's eyes still burned, the kindling set aflame. And I'm responsible. I lit the match. Seeing those flames had done something to Puck, had changed him. He'd never felt so on edge or fevered. The demon had been loud, was loud, but then, and now, he'd easily ignored the fiend. Passion had become a fire in his veins. Every inch of him had needed. When would it end? Earlier, when he'd first spied Gillian at the feast, he'd nearly hit the sand, as William had done. Only, Puck would not have been pretending. He'd been hit by a tsunami of blistering arousal, his knees going weak. Then a desire to kill had risen. Had his wife dressed for the ever-randy? Puck slammed a fist into the dirt. A colorful scarf covered her hair, except for the tail ends of multiple braids. The material was too thin to be a deterrent for the wind, making it purely decorative, beautifully decorative. Strings of crystals hung over her forehead. She'd replaced her tattered clothes with another form-fitting leather halter top to bind her breasts, breasts he'd had in his hands, leaving her midriff only partially covered by metal links. A kilt-like skirt stopped mid-thigh, her long legs on perfect display. I'd had my hand under that skirt, wanted there again. She'd wanted it there, too, had begged, she'd wanted him. We'll take what's mine. No, no, stop this. Could he stop? He wanted to howl at the night sky, wanted to shake Gillian and kill William. Maybe he would kill William once he had the crown. But Puck also wanted to kiss Gillian breathless, wanted to touch her until she moaned and writhed and begged some more, wanted to claim her, sinking deep inside her again and again, nothing held back. Fool! He should have taken her while he'd had the chance, but he hadn't, because as her tight inner walls had squeezed his fingers and her pleasure had drenched his hand, he'd nearly come, would have come, if he hadn't forced himself from the brink. And when she'd cried, clinging to him, and he'd offered comfort for the first time, he'd experienced a measure of contentment, despite his crazed need for release. He already felt possessive of Gillian. If they consummated their marriage, if he branded her, he would never let her go. His sense of possession wouldn't allow it, despite indifference. To keep her, he would have to send William away, before the terms of their blood oath could be met. That meant giving up the Connaught crown, damning his realm to sin's destruction, and his people to misery. Buck had known Gillian only a few weeks, and had spent even less time in her presence. He could not, would not, forget his goals, simply to experience momentary bliss. Bliss he'd craved for centuries. He peered at her now, this woman who both calmed and incited him. Ribbons of firelight shimmered over her golden skin, and he thought, maybe I can forget my goals. No, the madness had to stop. He would continue as planned. Once he used the shears, Gillian's desire for Puck would wane anyway, and her feelings for William would resurge. She would choose the other man, leaving me with nothing more than an unwelcome memory. Therefore, he would not touch her again. Too risky. From now on, he would remain the Iceman. He would resist his wife, no matter how potent her allure. A shrill blast of a horn suddenly cut through the entire camp, and the dancers stopped. The music ceased. Everyone tensed. Go, go, prepare for battle, Gillian called, jumping to her feet. The crowd of females rushed off, gathering weapons along the way. William palmed two daggers as he stood. What's going on? Retaliation, she replied, the single word dripping with relish. We're about to get a magical refill. Ears twitching as they detected a familiar march pattern, Puck closed in on his wife. A Walsh army approaches. Yes. Still, Gillian avoided looking in his direction, tempting him to force the issue. We have traps set around the outside border. I tested them myself, and know it will take the soldiers roughly 3 minutes and 20 seconds, if they're good, to reach our walls. And my sword.
Chapter 24. As William launched into a diatribe about keeping Gillian safely hidden, Puck noticed the fury pulsing from his wife and seized an opportunity to prove himself a better man, at least for her.
I will fight by your side, he said.
She didn't need skill for the coming battle, because he would protect her with his life. He would make sure nothing and no one got past him. The soldiers who focused on her would die first.
Seriously?
Finally, she peered up at Puck. He saw fire in those whiskey eyes, and gratitude. A strange clenching inside his chest sent indifference into another tirade. I get it, demon. You prefer the cold. Boo-hoo. Now shut your fool mouth.
You trust me to win? She asked.
As Puck held her gaze, he comprehended just how badly she wanted to be valued for her combat skills. To prove herself strong, brave, and free, the characteristics she'd once longed to possess. Puck trusted her to deliver. She'd been trained by Cameron and Winter. She'd started, ended, and restarted wars. She'd survived 500 years without his aid. She could survive another battle, another day.
Can the staring contest end now?
William stepped between them, a now familiar transformation overcoming him. Eyes flickering red. Lightning flashes under his skin, smoke and shadows rising from his shoulders. His abilities continued to stump Puck. What was he? What did he have that Puck did not? How could he overthrow sin when Puck could not? How had he earned Gillian's adoration?
How can I? Unimportant, keep your head in the game.
Pucker, William snapped. Are you even listening to me? If Gilly dies because of this attack, you die, and I leave your people to their demented king.
No one is dying, Gillian said.
A woman flew by, accidentally bumping into her. Apologies were made as she stumbled forward. Puck reached for his wife, but William beat him to the punch, flashing to catch her and blocking Puck. Fire blazed inside him.
Get between me and her? I warned you, Willie.
Puck had decided to remain hands-off with Gillian, yes, but that in no way meant the other male could swoop in.
Calm down, both of you, or I'll use what remains of my magic to make you fall in love with each other.
Her runes glowed the most sublime shade of gold.
Now then, William, sweetie, you don't know this world or these clans. I do. You hide. I'll take care of business.
Puck's runes answered in kind, buzzing and sizzling. Gilly, William began, trying again.
I'm sorry, Liam, but I don't have time to humor you.
Humor me? The male sputtered as she rushed off. Puck watched as she issued commands, her clanswomen obeying without protest, a true testament of her ability to lead.
You to the parapet, she called. You to the outer wall. You get our first line in front of the gate.
The girl Puck left behind had lacked confidence. The woman he'd returned to had confidence in spades. And I want her more for it. You did this to her, William snarled. Ignoring him, Puck considered the defenses he'd seen upon his arrival at camp. A massive stone wall outlined the perimeter, a wall he would have had to scale if not for Cameron's interference.
Lower the gate and let him in, his friend had said, preferably without killing him.
Soldiers had lined the entire length. On each side, north, east, south, and west, he'd noticed a lookout tower. Connecting those towers, a second parapet where archers waited at the ready. If she's hurt, literal steam wafted from William's nose. She's proven she can get hurt and recover. Tonight, Puck would do his part, prove his strength to her. Done talking, he charged toward the northern tower. He confiscated a bow, a basket of arrows, three daggers and two short swords, either from tables loaded with weapons or straight from a shawazan. The vibrations in his horns intensified. The wolf soldiers marched ever closer. As Puck drew on centuries of unwavering focus, "We'll do what needs doing, no hesitation," the demon quieted. Up the stairs, onto the parapet. On either side of him, archers formed a line. The women stood shoulder to shoulder, their bows knocked and ready. "Try not to hit me," he said as he scanned the dunes. "My death heralds your queen's. Spread the word." Night shadows were thick, hiding trees, a nearby lake, but not soldiers. There. He debated his options. Stay here and kill the soldiers who scaled the wall, or plow into the army's midst and stop them from climbing altogether, but also put himself in the archer's sight lines. At times like this, he missed his brother. William materialized at his side, daggers replaced by curved swords. He scanned the masses. Oh, goody, another sausage fest. Ignore. Option A or option B? Logic raised a hand and said, "B, please. Keep as many soldiers as possible away from the wall. The fewer Walsh is able to invade camp, the safer Gillian's clan would remain. If Puck got pegged with arrows, he got pegged. Wounds healed. Now, how to proceed with option B? The parapet was the width of a human road. On the far side, some sort of pulley rope system. Bingo. Puck anchored one end of the rope to a pulley, tied the other end of the rope around his waist, and barreled forward, knocking three arrows at once. As he fell, he released the arrows. Nettle whistled through the air, blending with the howl of wind. Grunts and groans sounded. Landing jarred him, bones juttering, perhaps even cracking. Refusing to slow, he knocked three more arrows, released, knocked, released. Magic floated from the bodies and flowed over him, absorbing into his runes. Power, such delicious power. Miss this. A new chorus of whistles pierced the air as the archers atop the wall released their arrows. The soldiers kept running, merely lifting their shields. Arrows pinged off steel and fell to the ground useless. Once again, William appeared beside Puck. You're not getting all the glory. Try to keep up. He sprang into action, rushing forward to meet the cadre head on. Puck remained in place, continuing to slay from a distance, building his supply of magic. With every release of the bow, more bodies fell, more power absorbed into his runes, filling him, soon overflowing. There. With a cold smile, he raised his arms and shoved a violent wave of magic through his fingertips. Mound after mound of sand gathered at his sides, creating a new wall, blocking the parapet. He dropped the bow and withdrew his swords, running forward, engaging, swinging, hacking, heads and limbs detached, blood sprayed. Every drop of magic he gained, he used to keep the wall of sand in place. Felling one Walsh after another, William made his way back to Puck's side. To his shock, they worked together in harmony, taking out soldiers while dodging arrows, bodies piled up around them. Runes glowed in William's hands, new symbols appearing, symbols Puck had never seen before. All right, I've had enough of this, the Ever-Randy kicked one opponent, punched another, then dropped a sword to slap his hand against Puck's. Boom! Absolute power detonated between them, crashing over the entire army, no one able to outrun it. Every man dropped, including Puck and William. Not even the sand wall was immune. It toppled. Gillian, Winter, Cameron, and a handful of others rushed over, their weapons at the ready. What happened? Cameron asked. Puck was panting, his limbs shaking.
Not sure,
William said. I used you as a battery, unleashed my power. I guess that makes me the night's MVP. Seeing the sea of crimson and motionless bodies, Gillian scowled. You took our kills, our magic, magic we needed. Hostility blasted from her, charging the air. You acted against my orders and stole from my people. Calm down, Gillian, Winter beseeched. The boys didn't mean to take our kills, I'm sure of it. Or kind of sure. They'll probably apologize, right, Puck? Confusion kept him quiet. Gillian's dark eyes gleamed like polished onyx, her pupils blown. Animal-like snarls were rumbling from her throat as she fisted her hands and braced her legs apart. She just assumed a battle stance. No hulking out, Cameron gripped a pair of axes and shooed the rest of their audience away. I don't want to hack off your hands again. The Shawazons ran as if their lives depend on it. A hulk out. Rage threatened to overwhelm her then. But this was no little tantrum as he'd supposed. In the letter, she claimed she'd lost control of her actions and did things she later regretted. Then the rest of Cameron's words registered.
You hacked off her hands? He asked,
his tone quiet but lethal.
Gilly,
William said with a frown. What? With a screech, she picked up two dead bodies as if they weighed nothing and tossed them at the male. Puck jumped to his feet, intending to rush to his woman, but Winter moved in front of him, stopping him. Don't. You'll lose an arm, or more. You can't stop her. No one can. All we can do is let the rage burn out. William failed to heed the warning and raced over, reaching for Gillian. And, yes, she ripped off his arm. He bellowed in pain, his blood spurted from the gaping wound. All right. From this point forward, Puck wouldn't have to do any pretending about admiring her battle skill. The woman could hold her own against anyone. In only a few seconds, William regrew another arm, the fastest regeneration Puck had ever beheld. But the male didn't approach Gillian again. Eyes wide, he backed away from her. What had reduced the little darling to such a state? The rage, as out of control as it was, could not originate inside her. The day Puck and Gillian had bonded, he thought he'd felt emotion flow between them. Had he somehow given her the rage he'd buried throughout the centuries? Guilt slashed his insides to confetti, and indifference feasted on the remains. No way Puck could stay away. He had to help. As he approached, a body soared over his head, then another and another.
I'm not going to hurt you, wife.
As much as Puck enjoyed seeing the other man ripped to shreds, he would rather see his woman smile tomorrow. Violence wasn't her default setting, and she would most assuredly chastise herself for harming the bastard. More bodies. One slammed into his chest, knocking him back a few steps. Okay, then. Slow and easy had failed. He'd have to go in hard and go in fast. He picked up speed and dived, tossing her to the ground. Rather than twisting to take the bulk of impact himself, he forced her to hit first and allowed his weight to crash down on her. Cruel but necessary. Air gushed from her lungs, and her skull bounced off the sand, weakening her, rendering her unconscious. No such luck. Like a wildcat, she clawed at his back and tore his shirt. She even sank her teeth into his throat in a clear attempt to remove his trachea. Pain seared him. Whatever. With magic, he caused thorny vines to grow from the sand, wrap around her neck, wrists, and ankles, and hold her in place. He lifted his head, grunted. Her teeth held onto his flesh as long as possible. Enough, he commanded. She continued to struggle, one of the thorns cutting through her wrist and coming out the other side. As crimson rivers snaked down her forearm, his stomach twisted. She would fight until she bled out, wouldn't she? My brave, beautiful girl. Gillian, he croaked. Warm blood poured from the wound in his neck and dripped onto her face. The sight broke something in him, a heart he'd thought sin had long since destroyed. How could he help her? He didn't want to use ice the way he'd often done with Cameron and Winter, the times their demons had gotten the better of them. What if Gillian never melted? Watch the fire in her eyes die? Never. When she attempted to buck up, uncaring as the thorns sliced into her vulnerable neck, he flinched. Well, no other choice. Must do something before she decapitates herself. We'll be so careful. He straddled her waist, cradled her face with his big, bloody hands, and focused inwardly, on the demon, then the bond, the sight of her rage. Oh, yes, he was at fault. With only the barest hint of magic, Puck summoned ice while thrumming mental fingers along the bond, as if he were playing a harp. Where he touched, fire died and ice spread. Beneath him, Gillian's motion slowed, then ceased altogether. Half fearful of what he'd find, he opened his eyes to peer down at her. She lay on the sand, panting, studying him right back. Her eyes were dull, no hint of flame. He swallowed a shout of denial, one to rival indifference. "What did you do to me?" she asked, and the flatness of her tone made him cringe. He dismissed the thorns, freeing her. She made no move to rise. "I summoned ice," he replied. "For you."
"I'm Ice Woman, then."
"Aye. You are well, lass?"
"This is what you feel when you go cold? This nothingness?"
As if she didn't care enough to await his answer, she shut her eyelids and let herself drift off to sleep. Chest a maze of landmines, Puck gathered his sleeping wife in his arms and stood. "I'm going to tend her wounds. Anyone tries to stop me, they die." Gillian floated in and out of consciousness. More than once, she noted the heated blanket of fur pressed against her side and rubbed against it. So soft. At different times, familiar voices penetrated her awareness. "Puck, you were afraid of her." "William. I am all realms, all ages. I am darkness and light. I am power like you've never known. I fear nothing and no one." "Puck. Face it, Willie, you're still afraid." "William, I'm pissed. If you want your crown, you'll keep your hands off her from now on. Do you feel me? Oh, and one more thing. If she's indifferent when she awakens, she had better not be indifferent." "Puck, keeping my hands to myself was never part of our bargain." The conversation dwindled from her awareness, another soon taking its place. "Winter.
Somehow, you did what only the Quisley MacCroyder syrup can do and calmed her. Nothing else has ever worked."
"Cameron. Problem is, we've tapped all the trees." "Puck. There are plenty. In Connaught territory." "William. Perhaps, when the time comes, I'll wed her in Connaught territory. You can serve as a witness, Pucker." He'd gone from sleeping together to marriage? Sigh. Gillian had no idea how much time passed before she opened her eyes, memories of the battle flooding her. Oh, crap. She'd harmed William, then Puck, then tangled with Puck's ice. Her rage had vanished. Every emotion had vanished. She had cared for nothing and no one. Even the thought of dying was meh. So was the thought of living. Hurt the people she loved? Go for it. The strength Puck wielded to persevere without causing widespread collateral damage. Incredible. Her admiration of him skyrocketed. He was a warrior of warriors. And okay, yes, she wanted to hug him and kiss him and lick him all over, which meant the ice inside her had already melted. Different emotions swamped her. At the forefront, dismay. It bounced her heart against her ribs. What kind of collateral damage had she caused? Sitting up, she took stock. She was in her loft, in her own bed, alone and uninjured, wearing clean clothes. No headscarf. Muffled voices drifted from below. She made her way to the first floor. Puck stood beside Peanut, feeding her pet an apple.
"My family."
Bounce, bounce. And not from dismay this time. Puck had bathed, changed, and anchored his damp hair into a warrior chic ponytail. fewer razors than usual hanging from the ends. He looked flawless and otherworldly, so masculine he set her every feminine instinct on fire. He looked like home. Whoa, home? She did not just think that. They'd fooled around once and would hopefully go for round two soon, because yes, she craved another orgasm and longed to witness and cause his. But she couldn't forget his tendency to freeze her out afterward, or that he planned to let her go. Would he ever think of her again? Maybe not. Until now, she hadn't fully comprehended the breadth of his apathy. To be hollowed out, completely devoid of emotion, she hadn't felt like a living being, but lower than an animal. "There is no happy ending for you, Gillian Cunoth." She bit her tongue until she tasted the copper tang of blood. Stupid oracles. Sure, happy endings weren't given away for free, but she would fight tooth and nail for hers. She would help Puck and William do their thing, even accept a divorce. As she learned what living without a bond felt like, she would rule the Shawazons and start dating just like she'd hoped. The idea wasn't repellent or exciting. "Why do I feel like I'm headed to my execution?" William stretched across the couch, a man of leisure. "I noticed Gillian doesn't wear your ring, Pucker. But then you already gave her one, did you not? 500 years of suffering." Puck went rigid. "Funny. When I held her in my arms, it wasn't your name," she screamed. Now William went rigid. "Dear Lord. I thought you two were going to kiss and make up." At once, all three males focused on her. William eased up, silent, watching her with something akin to suspicion. Peanut trotted over to nuzzle her, as if to say, "You can do no wrong, Mama." Puck, oh my, his dark eyes devoured her. "Do not react." "I hulked out," she said, shifting from one foot to the other to assuage the sudden ache between her legs. "So sorry, William. And I know that's not good enough. But how am I supposed to atone for ripping off your arm? Fruit basket? Hug? Offer to pay for 100 years of therapy? Say you forgive me, please. Because when I say I'm sorry, I'm 100% sincere. I mean it."
"Poppet, I can't. You can't forgive her?"
Puck interrupted, and she thought she glimpsed a taunting gleam in his eyes.
"You're being unreasonable, Randy man. She said sorry, and she was sincere."
William tensed with aggression, ready to strike.
"Is this how it's going to be? If you want to play, Pucker, we'll play."
"No," Gillian pressed her hands together, forming a steeple.
"No playing, no fighting. William, your gift to me, to pay me back for allowing you to forgive me, is to kiss and make up with Puck. No? Too soon? Okay, well maybe you guys should stay away from me. What if I rip your head off next time? What if I kill you?"
Her friend offered a chiding smile.
"I can't stay angry with you. You're forgiven, and I'll merely thank you for allowing it. But your worries are unfounded. I'm too strong, too fast."
Ugh, would he ever take her skills seriously?
"Yeah, but what if you're not?
You aren't strong or fast enough to stop your arm amputation." He spread two perfect arms, all, "I'm the last sane man in the universe."
"I was surprised. Next time I'll be prepared."
"How about this?" Puck said, as if her question was totally logical, and she was smart for asking.
"I'll rip off William's limbs at random times. That way, you aren't the only one causing him pain. We'll share responsibility equally."
"That is a really sweet offer," she replied, her hand fluttering over her heart. "Thank you."
"Sweet?"
William bellowed. "But," she added, "what if I rip off your arms? Maybe I should..."
"Stay behind? Excellent idea," William nodded.
"Do the mission by myself,"
she finished with a frown. He wanted to leave her behind?
"If you rip off my arms," Puck said, "you have to feed me by hand until they regrow."
Why did she have to like his response so much better than William's?
"Deal."
"How often do hulkouts happen?"
"Once or twice a month."
"Then I'm the one who owes you an apology," he said, looking away. "I'm to blame for your rages. Emotions I bury are traveling through our bond, and you're the one forced to deal with them.
Dude, really? The rage belonged to Puck? Well, that didn't not make sense. The guy either felt too much or nothing at all. What a terrible existence.
All right, enough chatter. William swiped up a pile of folded T-shirts and stood. We have a mission to start. You'll be pleased to know I took the liberty of making team uniforms.
Smirking, he sauntered toward her. Peanut hissed at him, a clear warning to stay away. William rolled his eyes and tossed Gillian a shirt. On the front, he'd bedazzled Puck's face inside a circle. The caption read, "I ain't afraid of no goats." Next, he tossed a shirt at Puck.
No need to thank me. I know you love it.
Puck offered his patented cold smile.
My image nestled against Gillian's breasts? I will thank you, Willie.
Nostrils flared. William grated. I will murder you.
You can try.
Gillian sighed. We're heading out within the hour, and I've got things to do. Go, both of you, prepare yourselves.
Anything for you.
William blew her a kiss and stalked outside. Puck lingered. Eyes ablaze, he said.
Prepare yourself, because I will have you. I told myself I wouldn't touch you again, because no matter what, I will let you go. I made a vow to William, ensuring it.
His words shouldn't hurt, but ouch. But, he continued,
I failed to stay away yesterday and today. I have you for only a short while, and I'm going to enjoy you while I can. Congratulations, lass. You've defeated me.
Chapter 25.
You must prepare yourself, because I will have you. Going to enjoy you while I can.
Puck's words echoed inside Gillian's mind, sometimes on repeat, sometimes on shuffle as she rode Peanut across the sand. His shorter legs made him slower than the other chimeras, his gait choppier. To William's consternation, she used the goat T-shirt as padding underneath her increasingly sore butt. One moment she thrilled about Puck's announcement, so hot and achy she thought she might die without his touch. The next she floundered, so confused she thought she might sob. Should she resist him, or just give in?
Congratulations, lass. You've defeated me.
He had not sounded happy. But then when had he ever sounded happy? On the other hand, or maybe the same hand, he had sounded resentful. Gillian had married him with a single task in mind, to make him feel some kind of emotion. She hadn't known she would come to crave his touch more than anything. Now she wished she could make him feel desire, desire laced with affection. Grudging tolerance would not be, well, tolerated. She stewed over a plan of action as their group of five traveled, playing mental tug of war. What to do, what to do? Let him go? Fight for him? Take what she could while she could, as he hoped to do? I hate the beginning of a journey, Winter said, pulling her from her thoughts, and the end, and everything that happens in between. But you love complaining about journeys, Cameron quipped, so the rest of us have that to look forward to.
That's true, Winter sighed, woebegone. Great, there's an upside for everyone but me.
Like Winter, William also kept up a steady stream of complaints.
The sons hate me. Papa, can you do me a solid and put a little pep in your mangy mutt step? And no, I'm not talking about Peanut. I forgot to bring a deep conditioning treatment for my hair. If I develop split ends, someone is going to get neutered. Not going to mention any names, but it starts with a P, or maybe an F, and ends with an uck.
Soon after, they came upon a small camp. The occupants caught sight of Gillian and squealed,
"Not the Dune Raider!"
She recognized their faces in an instant, two men on her most wanted list, known abusers. Before they had time to run, before anyone in the group had time to react, Gillian was on her feet, sword in hand, delivering justice. Heads rolled and magic filled her. William frowned at her.
My baby doll needs to be more careful. What if they'd fought back?
Baby doll? He would always see her that way, wouldn't he?
Good kills, Puck nodded in acknowledgement, but avoided meeting her gaze, as if he knew the tension between them would finally reach a boiling point. In an effort to distract everyone with conversation, she remounted Peanut and trotted ahead, saying, "What do you guys name your chimera?" "Animals die before immortals," William said. "Best not make friends with them." Winter frowned at her. "Why would I name a lowly chimera?" Cameron stared up at the sky. "How many clouds? I must know." "Don't care," Puck said with a shrug. "Unacceptable." "Don't care is a horrible name. Puck, you'll call yours Walnut. William, yours is Pistachio. Cameron, yours is Almond. Winter, yours is Pecan." Gillian reached out to pet Peanut behind the ear. "They'll be our little nut jobs." No response. Good. No response meant no objection. Finally, just before nightfall, they reached their destination, the entrance to Sin's maze. A dark fog whisked where sand ended and a creepy forest began. Rather than enter, they made camp at a small river oasis nearby. They'd head in at first light. "Think Sin has men waiting inside?" Winter asked. "They might exit and attempt to kill us before we can enter."
"Or warn Sin of our arrival," Cameron said. "We should..." "Oh, look, another cloud!"
"He'll sense me the moment I reach Cunnaught Land," Puck replied. "If he has men nearby," he shrugged, "let them come." William dismounted, his gaze hot on Gillian.
"How's your rage level?"
"Fine," she muttered. Shouldn't Puck ask her about her arousal levels? Ever the gentleman, William offered to set up camp for her while she took care of any personal needs. She accepted, grateful, and led Peanut a good distance away, to the edge of the water, where she fed and brushed him. When he was resting comfortably on a bed of furs, she grabbed a bar of soap from her pack, headed behind a thicket of trees, stripped, and entered the pond. Once clean, she donned a comfy dress made of scarves, a gift from one of the women she'd saved. As she wrung water from her hair, a light patter of footsteps captured her attention. Someone approached, and he carried a faint woodsy scent with him. In her veins, awareness fizzed like champagne.
"I brought dinner."
Puck's husky baritone stroked her ears. Not enough time had passed for any kind of hunt, which meant Puck had planned ahead.
"Taking care of me, even though he claims he doesn't care for me?"
Though her heart raced, Gillian turned slowly and came face to face with the object of her fascination. Moonlight accentuated the tragic beauty of a face cut by cruelty, with no hint of warmth or softness. Not tonight, at least. Like her, he'd taken a bath, leaving his hair wet. Where he'd bathed, she didn't know, since there was no other body of water nearby, to her knowledge. He was shirtless, his warrior's body a revelation of strength and sinew. Tonight, the butterfly tattoo ran from one side of his ribcage to the other, stretching over his navel and along his goody trail, vanishing beneath the waist of his sheepskins. Her mouth watered for a taste. Even the off-limits bird tattoo appealed to her, the one she wasn't allowed to touch. Would he have any objection to licking? Had she truly spent the day unsure whether or not to deny him? The answer was so clear now. "I will have him while I can." But what could they do tonight? Soon the others would make their way to the river expecting to bathe. Wasn't like Gillian could hang a sock on a tree limb as a sign to stay away. How would William react to that? And what about any threats that might lurk nearby? Wait. Puck still watched her, expectant. He'd made a comment about, oh yeah, dinner. "Thank you," she said. He handed her a small satchel of berries and nuts.
"Come on, we'll eat together."
Like a date.
She led him to the pallet she'd made for Peanut. Her pet was too exhausted to move, much less open his eyes. Puck eased beside her, watching as she popped a plump red berry into her mouth. His pupils spilled over his irises, like some kind of erotic solar eclipse, as she moaned with delight and savored the sweet juice wetting her parched throat.
"You did well today," he croaked.
"Thank you," she arched a brow.
"We are talking about the killings, right?"
The corners of his mouth twitched, causing her heart to flutter.